Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Jeremy and Joe, Josh and Owen here as well. Weekend awaits. Game 7 in the NBA Finals will be Sunday. The Travelers Championship. Got baseball. You got...
What happened yesterday? Otani got thrown at yesterday or something, and he's pitching again.
We got summer is what we've got. Humidity and summer. 80s and 90s. I mean, it's going to be hot going into next week. So, plan accordingly.
Are we allowed to complain or no? Because May was so bad that it was like enough of the 40s and 50s.
You're allowed. It will just reinforce my belief that 90% of life is asking when the current weather situation will change.
Uh-huh.
When are we going to get a break from all this? Blank. Snow, rain, heat, wind,
cold. I mean, if
cold.
It was 71 and sunny every day, I don't think we'd ever do that.
If it was 71
it's just
and sunny,
so we all have a much more, we have a smaller range than you'd think.
If it were 71 and sunny every day, that wouldn't be weather. That would be like a climate controlled room.
Wait a minute.
There's no place.
You're saying
Hawaii.
It can only be called weather if it changes?
Yes. Yes.
So Arizona doesn't have weather. They just have.
It has weather, but it's not the same every day, every single day. It changes a little bit. There's going to be.
The weather, I thought, is just the state of where you're, like...
But you're saying 71.
Yeah.
In Arizona,
so if it's just 71 every day.
Yeah, and it's not that. It goes up to, like, 112.
Okay, I see. Because, right, the temperature changes.
Heat changes. That's my... I haven't thought this theory out too much. Davis Maddock joining us on the Western Hotline as we chat some fantasy football here. He does the Ship Chasing podcast with Mike Shope and other projects as well. Davis, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today.
Good morning. How are we doing, fellas?
We're digging into summer. You know, it's May was rainy around here, and now we're ready to go with some heat. I'm ready for it. I like the heat.
I don't mind the heat. I mean, you can't golf when it's cold, but there is no upper bound for golfing temperature. You can golf when it's 102.
I agree with that, and we have listeners that listen in Florida a lot and Carolina that say sometimes it's so hot that you can't play, and I have yet to meet a day hot enough where I couldn't play. I would say,
what if it's humid on top? Would you call next week a generational humidity event?
I mean, it's supposed to be very humid throughout most of the country, and I'm going to golf in it. Yeah, so
it's going to feel like you're underwater.
I'm sure there are temperatures where it's less than ideal to play.
Yeah,
because you're not comfortable. But I've yet to be turned away from golf because it's too hot.
But you actually can't golf when it's too cold because the ball won't fly and you'll like injure your hands. But like if it's 103 degrees and humid, the humidity will affect the ball a little bit.
I think I'm with you. Yeah.
Play.
The coldest I think I played golf was like 35, 34.
Yeah.
I mean, the ground's frozen.
I've done that too and it wasn't as enjoyable
as you
might think.
It's not very fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Davis, happy draft season, right? We're into draft season.
Happy draft season. We are absolutely there. I mean, you know, we're doing these best ball drafts every single day. No question about it.
Yeah. For home leagues, do you think now's about the time when it really starts getting fired up, or would you still recommend people wait until like August training camp when usually most people have their drafts?
I mean, I think a lot of people start thinking about fantasy football right now. They're like, all right, guys, when are we going to do our draft? Are we going to travel for it? Are we all getting together? Like, what's happening there? You might start eyeing the fantasy football magazine at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might think, maybe I will pick up the magazine this year just to get a look.
Yeah, it's definitely on the shelves. I've already seen it. For this year, I don't know, Davis. What is different about this year, if anything, about the whole landscape. When I've been thinking about like strategies and, you know, best ball being maybe different from some of my dynasty stuff, but or redraft leagues, like, doesn't tight end kind of feel as flush as it ever has been? I don't know how much that would change strategy of where you pick them, but from your perspective, kind of open-ended, like what feels different this year from past seasons, if anything?
I mean, I would say two of the things that are pretty different is that there are five quarterbacks that go off before pick 50, which is pretty strange. Like in most leagues, you've got Josh Allen up there in Buffalo, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow. There's always kind of the quarterback who threw the highest amount of passing touchdowns the year before kind of always gets overdrafted the next year. And then the other thing is that because no running backs really got hurt last year, the market has decided that being 29, being 30, being 31 in the case of Derrick Henry is no impediment, that there basically is no adjusted cost for running backs being past the best of their aging curve.
Would you be buying with that, or would you be selling, I guess, then, the Barkleys, the McCaffrey? McCaffrey's different, though, right, because of all the injuries from last year. But are you finding yourself heading towards those guys, though?
No. I'm kind of staying true to my principles, being a little bit stubborn from years past. I just think that just because, you know, it worked out last year and you beat the, I mean, not only did one guy beat the aging curves, but like kind of the whole group beat the aging curves. I don't think that the arc of history is long, and I don't think that one small disruption in that time frame changes how I feel about that.
I might agree with that, but I might have an exception for Derrick Henry and not be willing to bet against him on any level, right? Like, there's the arc of history, and I guess, like, you would have identifiable unicorns in there, like your Peterson, I guess. It's going to go eventually, but I feel like I'd be betting on
him. Well, isn't, David, you tell me, isn't Henry also a little safer, although maybe some of these guys are the same? I'm just thinking about Baltimore's offense and, like, what's the worst that could happen? I guess it could be injury, but you would think at least the guy's going to be getting goal line opportunities to get the touchdown number.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, what did he score? He scored last time 19 touchdowns last season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he doesn't catch any passes. He probably will, whatever amount of passes he caught last year, he'll probably catch less this year. They also have Keaton Mitchell, who in his rookie year led the entire NFL in rushing yards over expectation, who's coming back from the torn ACL. Last year, he is fully healthy now. I just, you know, when you start playing the game of how bad can it be, the answer is always worse than you think in fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm. Back on quarterback for a moment, you mentioned there are the five guys at the top that are going in the top 50. Where do you settle in on Mahomes at this stage in his fantasy life? Because when you're picking him, I think you're almost always picking, in a one quarterback league, you're always picking him to be your guy. But the last 2 years, like, you're not getting the 5,000 yard seasons. You're not getting the 50 touchdown seasons like you might have had earlier in his career. So at the cost he's going right now, how do you see Mahomes and whether his numbers just over the course of a whole year will start ever going back up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Mahomes is like a priority target right now because they've sort of, as an organization, settled into a different part of their arc. You know, the first part was all, they're so fun, they're so exciting, you know, they score all these points, Tyreek Hill scores all these long touchdowns, and now they're just kind of content to, you know, dink and dunk, and they have great defense, great defensive coordinator. Mahomes has scored exactly 293 fantasy points in each of the last two seasons. And it really wouldn't surprise me if that is right about the range that he is in again this season, honestly. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the league. He could throw 50 touchdowns, but I don't think that is something that you can like reasonably expect from them anymore.
Right. And maybe it depends on the league you're in. But like, he's in a group of guys that it just doesn't feel like he belongs in because of how we kind of rank these guys, how we think of them, where like Mayfield, Bo Nix, Goff, maybe I'm missing somebody, but these are not guys that anyone would like say are as good as Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know, almost all of those guys. I just feel like there might be more upside this year with almost all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Bo Nix could score 10 rushing touchdowns. Mayfield, I mean, you know, just by the defense and how they play, could, I mean, he could throw 50 touchdowns. Baker Mayfield could win MVP. It really, I mean, frankly, it's sort of a question of, does Worthy get any better? How cooked is Travis Kelce? And what is Rashee Rice's knee situation? Like, if Rashee Rice's knee is fully good to go, Worthy gets a little bit better, Kelce, you know, reports are right now at training camp that he's lost some weight. If we, you know, if Kelce turns back the clock a little bit, then sure. But my guess is their offense probably looks more like it did last year than like it did in 2021 or 2020.
That note on Baker, like, what is the formula for him to have such a monster season? Like, MVP is a big title there. Is it just because they're going to be a wagon on offense and they're going to be a mess on defense and they could win the division?
Yeah, I mean, he threw for 4,500 yards last year and 41 touchdowns, and they won 10 games. Now, obviously, that would require like one of Allen, Lamar, and probably even Jaden Daniels would need to have a bit of a down year for that to happen. But if they win 12 games and he does what Jared Goff did last season, 4,600 yards, and he gets to 45 touchdowns, I think it's very realistic that he wins MVP. He also runs a little bit. That is, he's quite a good scrambler. I don't know his exact numbers from last year, but he adds in more of that than, 378 yards, three rushing touchdowns from last year. He does that again. He's definitely top five on the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, he cleared his career high in rushing in a season by more than 200. So he definitely was doing that last year. And they drafted Buka. I don't know what Godwin's situation is, but I guess really it's the defense point, though, right? Like, if they are trailing in games or just they have to keep up and that offense is that good, I mean, there could be Burrow-level numbers, and maybe that's not that far of a leap for him.
It's definitely possible. I mean, Burrow, I would say, I guess if you were betting right now, Burrow probably would be the one you would say, like, okay, what quarterback can throw for 5,000 yards? I guess Burrow probably is the top. Mm-hmm. But I would be, particularly for fantasy, I'd be a little bit more interested in Baker because the market is making you pay, through the nose for Joe Burrow right now.
Davis Maddock joining us on the Western Hotline. A little fantasy talk. If we're talking the young backs, I want to get your thoughts on the young running backs because it was said to be a very good class of young backs. And, you know, do you have a tier break after tier one, tier two? Like, how many guys would you put in the top 10 that could be considerations for top 10 picks? Because, you know, Omarion Hampton is one that's always at the top. But I see so much RJ Harvey, and it feels like, is his ADP moving consistently because people are getting more and more bullish on what he'll do with Denver?
I mean, Harvey and Hampton are actually both moving down boards right now, which is what you would expect kind of right now because the coaches are always going to give, you know, it's very early. We're at mandatory mini camps. Like, coaches are going to be like, oh, yeah, Najee Harris, he's doing a great job. Really happy to have J.K. Dobbins in the building. You know, we want to put some on Hassan Haskins' plate. Like, this is the time of year when coaches are very, very deferential to their veterans. I mean, I think Pete Carroll the other day even said, oh, yeah, we view 32-year-old Raheem Mostert and Ashton Jeanty as a committee. Like, coaches will just say anything to placate veterans right now.
Right, which would be obviously flooring if we got to the point of the year and Jeanty wasn't getting most of the work. What about as we're on running backs here, and we get to the Bills a bit with Davis Maddock. James Cook last year, huge amount of touchdowns. Didn't actually have like tons and tons of opportunities, like especially the 1 and the 2 yard line, but he got there. How, I think everyone's kind of thinking there will be regression this year on the touchdowns, but when you're projecting him out for fantasy, Davis, how much regression are you kind of expecting from Cook?
I mean, I expect his touchdowns to regress a lot. He scored 17 last year. I think 10 is probably more reasonable. The thing that you need to hope if you're a big James Cook guy is that he gets the passing down work back. It was not their passing down back last year. They were passing to Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson, they re-signed him to the team this year. Now, maybe Ty Johnson gets cut. Maybe they just totally marginalize Ty Johnson. I don't know. I tend to think Ray Davis is like a better interior runner than James Cook. Maybe that's a minority opinion there. But I'm concerned that Cook's usage and fantasy value looks more like it did the two prior years.
And the year before, like a low-end RB2 kind of for him as opposed to last year, which was more of like an RB1 week to week.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, the thing that could make me so wrong is if he retains all that goal line work and they say, you know, Ty Johnson, thanks for coming out, but we are going to prioritize getting the ball to James Cook on third down. Then, I mean, he could be a first round pick. You know, he could score 350 points.
Sure. Davis Maddock with us. What about the Bills passing attack? Is there anything beyond Khalil Shakir that, or even Shakir, I guess, for this too, that you are looking at and think is worth taking a flyer on at receiver? Or Kincaid, who I mentioned earlier, like I like the way tight end looks this year for how many good options there are. And Kincaid is going, what is his ADP right now, like 13th or 14th at that position?
Yes, yeah, he's like the 14th tight end off the board. You know, you can especially in your home league. I mean, I guess if it's not in Buffalo, maybe in Buffalo it'd be a little bit harder. I mean, you guys are in Buffalo. Maybe you'll have a little bit better of a idea on this, but I don't see how he gets on the field enough because they're not going to bench Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox, I believe, is their third highest paid offensive player, and they like his blocking. They're not going to make Shakir play outside because then their highest paid wide receiver like won't be able to get open because he needs to be in the slot. They also signed, you know, Elijah Moore, who is a pure slot. I mean, I guess he can play outside. Curtis Samuel is still on the roster. They let Mac Hollins go. So the idea is that Keon Coleman's going to be a full-time player. I don't see how he gets to 80% of the routes. I think 60% seems more accurate to me. And that is just like, you know, no one really wants that.
Right, for fantasy, because I think I've seen numbers where like yards per route run last year, he's one of the better tight ends in the league. But if George Kittle is getting 30% higher, Kittle's an easy one because he would be one of the first tight ends picked. But you know what I mean? Like to finish as a top three, top four tight end, I feel like you said 80. That's usually got to be about the number.
Yeah, I mean, 80 is like a good number. Less than 70 is like, you know, you're Noah Gray.
Yeah. Who are you targeting at tight end this year? Who have you found yourself picking in these best ball drafts the most?
It's probably my favorite tight end is David Njoku. David Njoku is, you know, he's just totally cheap. There's a ton of concern about the quarterback, as there should be. You know, there's no stacking option with him. But David Njoku is just going to play every down. He is going to get, you know, 75 receptions in a bad season. I mean, he could have 100 receptions. I think that he probably could have 100 receptions. So I look at it and I go, that's like kind of the easiest pick on the board.
Davis Maddock with us. Last one for me, as we're on tight end here. What would you do with the Baltimore guys? But Andrews at this point in his career and at his age, obviously a very eventful end of his season in the playoffs. And then I think everyone seems to like Isaiah Likely as a player, but it's kind of the same question about what we just went through with the Bills, about how much the two guys are playing and whether both on the offense at the same time can produce a top-level fantasy tight end.
I think it would be very difficult for Isaiah Likely and Andrews to get there in the same season. I mean, Flowers is obviously the best player there. And if there's any kind of like volume, I mean, if we got 500 Lamar Jackson pass attempts, the ceiling is kind of the limit there. And I think they will play a lot more 12 personnel, you know, than the average NFL team. But I have a hard time being like, Ben, I really want Isaiah Likely on a ton of my teams. I think the price on Andrews I mean, Mark Andrews is only 29 years old. You know, I think he's probably a little bit undervalued in the, you know, in the 10th, 11th round, which is where he goes a lot of the time.
All right. Davis Maddock of Ship Chasing. Davis, thanks for the time, and happy drafting season.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for having me, guys. Anytime.
One thing I want to follow up on, Joe, with you. You buy the Cook regression?
Yeah.
Do you buy it for Derrick Henry? I'm setting you up for an exercise here. Why is James Cook going to regress on a touchdown number? Because of goal line carries?
Because his touchdowns come from further out. And I think that's harder to replicate.
Okay, harder to replicate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he only got 11 carries inside the one. And the thing about touchdowns being from further out, hard to replicate, what if he had gotten tackled at the four? Would he get the ball on that drive again? Maybe.
Well,
he had six touchdowns on 11 carries inside the five.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's another back you want here. Do you want Derrick Henry on this? Do you want
What about Gibbs? Who had a big touchdown year? Did Josh Jacobs have a big touchdown year?
Josh Jacobs had 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, like he's a guy I think of as they get to the three and he's getting the ball.
He had 22 attempts and 11 touchdowns.
Okay, so double the attempts.
And about the same rate as Cook.
Okay.
So Jacobs had 11 touchdowns. The idea here is that for touchdown regression, you trust the hammer more than you trust the long guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because at least... I'm not saying you're wrong, but built into that is the long guy doesn't get the hammer carries because he already ran it in.
Sometimes.
You want to do Saquon on this?
How many? Because that doesn't... Jacobs had how many? 11 touchdowns?
11 touchdowns from inside the five.
Okay, so he still had... You know, he had four then from further out.
Four.
That's not nothing.
That's not.
But it's Cook is...
Saquon Barkley had how many touchdowns?
Getting 10 of his from outside. Saquon Barkley?
Saquon Barkley this year had 13 touchdowns. How many from inside the five? Four.
Right, because they're all Hurts, Jalen Hurts.
Steals them all.
Yeah.
So is Barkley going to regress? He had 13.
Touchdowns?
He had nine from distance.
I would expect him to come down a few.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a few. I think you're getting a high. You're obviously getting a higher rate. I think if you look at the guys year over year, that are getting big touchdowns every single year, what's the most reliable? I think the guys that are always getting the ball at the goal line. Because really, like that was part of my thesis on Henry is, if the wheels do fall off for him, and he becomes inefficient, and he's not getting those big runs like he always has, they're still going to give him the ball at the two-yard line, and he's going to end up with 11 touchdowns.
Most touchdowns from inside the five. Do you know who it was last year?
And it's none of the guys we've mentioned?
Nope.
Most touchdowns from inside the five. Is it like Jonathan Taylor?
Kyren Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay. He's somebody I would not be as sure is going to come down his number, which was, what was his total? 14 last year?
Yeah.
Like I would bet he gets 12, 13, 14 again.
A funny thing about, I saw Ian Harditz tweet this about fantasy football. Like sometimes football people like to look down their nose at fantasy football, like, oh, that's just fantasy. And in the case of Kyren Williams, he's the opposite in that he's a great fantasy back, and he's not actually that good of a runner of the ball.
Right.
He's great in pass protection. They trust him, I guess, to do that.
Yeah, they do. That's why he plays.
That's why he's on the field all the time. They trust him there. But as an actual just runner,
yeah,
not that good. Scores a lot.
Yeah, like last year he played 87% of the snaps. So almost kind of almost double.
So a great fantasy back because he's on the field. He had 20 attempts from inside the five and scored 12 touchdowns.
I mean, the Rams do like him. They're about to pay him, right? Yeah.
The worst back from inside the five? Do you want that?
Yeah. Like an efficiency?
Yeah.
The worst back from inside the five is going to be Bijan.
There's an argument for Saquon here. 17 carries and 4 touchdowns.
Okay, so see, I didn't realize the number. That's a guy then, unless you're just truly terrible at it, that's a guy where he already had the long touchdown, so there wouldn't be an opportunity for this for Barkley. But if you told me there's another back that is like going as like the 25th running back, and he had 17 carries inside the five last year, and only 4 of them went in, that's a guy I'd want to bet on.
Yeah,
I'd want to bet on he's not going to be that bad at it again. This year he's going to get 8 of 17, and instead of being the 25th best back, he's going to be the 13th best back. You know, that would be more of a positive regression, you know, argument, though, for whoever that would be.
One funny inside the five number for you, Aaron Jones last year.
From Minnesota?
Yeah. 13 carries inside the five
for
negative 2 yards. Did he have like a 20-yard fumble or something?
Something must have happened there.
13 carries for negative 2 yards.
Because he scored on some of them, right?
He scored 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll get a break in fantasy football. Let me tell you, I'm feeling pretty good about my – I just traded for Baker Mayfield in the Dynasty League for a team that's trying to go for it.
He is – I've listened to a couple podcasts the last couple weeks, and people are high on Mayfield
this
year.
Well, let me tell you.
Because he's running more than ever, and he – I mean, Davis just mentioned MVP for him.
If he puts up big enough numbers. Yeah.
He last year threw for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns. Does he top that?
Depends – I mean, like, their defense shootouts. I mean, you could get in shootouts with Atlanta.
I think
you could maybe get in shootouts with Carolina.
Yep. Maybe MVP's not that bad. If he stacks numbers and they win that division, knowing it's poor, like they probably have to win like 12, 13 games.
I mean, I think
they can't just win the division at 9-8.
No, they have to win like 14 games. They have to be the one or the two. It's usually the one or the two, and the Bills just had Josh Allen win it as what, the two? So.
Right, and there's a stat going around that, like, in the last 10 years, like, nobody's ever won it, being, like, a 4 seed
right.
or a 3 seed. Yeah.
We'll get a break in. 803-0550. Happy Friday. A little fantasy chatter for you here on WGR.
You know, I've had...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Had a lot of highs and lows in my career, especially this year, some lows. And, you know, I made a mistake that I deeply regret, and I'm very sorry for what happened. But I'd also like to move on, not only for myself, but for Oakmont, for the USGA, and kind of focus on the rest of this year and things that come up. I still want to try to make the Ryder Cup team. I'm on the outside looking in for the FedEx Cup. You know, so I'm starting to move on and focus on those things.
Wyndham Clark. He trashed some of the locker rooms at Oakmont after his round. That's the apology.
Yeah. Wait, so it's not true? Did I get fake something that he was banned from Oakmont?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean,
but he did it.
People have suggested he should be banned from other things. Like, you know what? No, you're not on the Ryder Cup team. End of story.
Yeah.
Like, nope. You're embarrassed.
You trashed the locker room.
You trashed the locker room at Oakmont. Like, you're embarrassing, man. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if he has been banned. One longtime member, and like I got quotes here in a golf.com article. Mm-hmm. I'd be tempted to show up at his next tournament, heckle him on the tee. You know, something like, hey, buddy, how about I come to your house and kick in the shower doors? That's from a member at Oakmont.
Uh-huh.
He threw a club against a sponsor sign behind a tee. Rory smashed a tee marker while he was at Oakmont.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, on some level, if you're a member at Oakmont and you say, like, I want this course to ruin these guys' lives. And then when those guys get mad, be like, hey, excuse me, sir. Excuse me.
A little professionalism,
right,
please.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That's a heck of an apology. You know, I'm really sorry. I deeply regret it. But you know what? I'm really here to move on. That's the famous Rafael Palmeiro. Or that's, is it Palmeiro? Who was it that at Congress? It was Palmeiro or Clemens. Do you remember any of that?
No.
That might have been, was that like
the steroid, like.
Yeah. I'm not here to talk about the past.
Yeah.
It might have been Clemens.
That sounds like Clemens.
It all blurs together. It's so long ago. There is misremembered. Somebody, maybe it was Palmeiro who misremembered. Oh, yeah. Did you lie? No,
it was McGuire.
McGuire
said, I'm not here to talk about the past.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Which he was literally there to talk about the past.
And if you search misremembered, that might be Palmeiro. Did you lie? No, I just misremembered.
Uh-huh. I don't remember that one.
Clemens. Clemens said...
That he just misremembered?
That Pettit misremembered because Pettit claimed he didn't... whatever. It's all a long time ago. Long time ago. Anyway.
We have reached... Have we reached the angriest that the PGA Tour has ever been? Or are we just seeing it more? Because I feel like every week I'm seeing guys lose their mind.
Yeah.
Who was the dude earlier in the season that broke a sprinkler head? Are we watching that? Who was that?
Yes. I forgot what that was.
Just destroy. We're just then there's the guy
that, broke his putter over his knee.
Yeah.
Like that guy.
Yes.
It's the year we also had a guy pee in the creek at the Masters.
Right. Like what? This.
It's been a weird year.
Is this all just a promo for Happy Gilmore 2 coming out in the summer?
Speaking of golf, I had the thought yesterday that I'd like to, on my phone, maybe it just takes deleting Instagram.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to put a filter on Instagram where it's like, you know, I still want the golf memes and the golf jokes and the golf news, but I would like to never again see someone telling me how to swing.
Hmm.
Because I think that the root of my golf game going slightly in the wrong direction is entirely from being inundated with swing thoughts by social media.
Hmm.
And I want to press a button.
Well, staying on these videos when they come up.
I know.
So it is, you can't help the temptation.
I want them to go away altogether.
You can click, like, don't show me videos like this anymore.
Yeah, but it doesn't really work.
But is that going to take away all golf videos?
Yeah, I want the golf videos.
Because there are good like, golf meme videos.
There's a lot of golf humor out there.
Yeah.
I want all that.
But you just don't want, you know, giving you tips.
As soon as you see a swing tip, just swipe away.
I know.
The algorithm will eventually fix
itself. But Josh, don't you understand? It's hard to do that because it's so enticing. It's like, wait a minute. Maybe this is the key.
You got
to
have the discipline.
Maybe this is the moment.
This is
all clicks for me.
Social media discipline. You got to have
this is the mental game. You got to mentally decide, my swing is fine. These people are wrong.
Mentally decide my swing is fine. Let me tell you the kind of task that is.
Mm-hmm.
Swing's okay. Anyway.
You basically got one of these videos live from the guy at the driving range.
I know, I didn't tell that story. I was at the driving range. Guy comes up next to me. First, it's pretty windy out here, eh? Like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Couple swings in, he's starting to give me tips.
Yeah.
And drills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
And you think it worked?
Well, initially, what's your reaction if some stranger is just going to say, like, you know what you should do?
My initial reaction is like eye roll, in my own head, here we go.
Right. Instead, what happened was, you know, he'd seen me hit a couple balls and a couple well, and then he saw a couple misses. And he basically said, you know, I see when you miss you, and then he said exactly what I know happens when I
so
hit.
You knew immediately, like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
All right, sir.
Yeah, you were willing to give him the...
Let's have a conversation here. You're right. All of a sudden, my Instagram lessons are now approaching me live as sentient humans. Instagram has evolved into people approaching me at the driving range like, oh, yeah, try this drill. All right.
Yeah.
I tried that drill. Did some good things. And now I'm just going to go out and beat Owen tomorrow. That's the, you know, that's what I got. I got
he's hitting 400-yard drive.
I got to lock in. I got to beat Owen. I got to beat Bulldog. It's a big match tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to see what kind of Bulldog we're getting tomorrow.
Oh.
Whether we get.
He just told me he got lessons. Like, he's locked in again.
Well, you know, to your point.
He's like JJ Spawn going U.S. Open to 10 off the lead the next day.
It's certainly possible.
Look at the wind, by the way, at this tournament. When that
you love it. This is everything you love about golf.
This is a great tournament right here. Their shirts are flying in the wind.
Is the caddy holding a cup of coffee?
Yes.
It kind of looks...
Oh, they're not on a real green. They're on a practice green.
Okay.
Okay, this looked weird. That's why. When you're getting lessons like that, the first couple rounds after are sometimes a bit of an adventure. Because you're still going through the mechanics of everything. You might forget one element of it and then realize that, like, oh, I forgot to, you know, rotate my shoulders in this direction. So,
I mean, we were watching, what were we watching last night? It must have been the NBA game. And he was with a golf club in the living room, just, you know, some rehearsal takeaway stuff. And then he texted me when I got in this morning. He was up already at like 5:30. Thinking about golf, clearly, because he texted me.
Yeah,
I just made a tee time for Sunday. If you want to come out, I'm going to the range as soon as I get out of bed right now. And apparently he's been having a little bit of a struggle with the changes being made. So we might have him tomorrow.
Saturday and Sunday then.
Yeah, we're going doubleheader.
All right, no complaints. No complaints. I played a full. I've not played a bunch of full rounds. I played some scrambles here and there.
Okay.
Not a lot of full rounds this year. So anyway, This Travelers Tournament, I mean, this is a great tournament, the Travelers. This course is beautiful.
It's in Connecticut, this golf course. It looks great on TV. What's the name of this course?
River Highlands.
Okay. Not one that comes right to mind for me, but no. I like it on TV. Definitely not.
Can you play it? I don't know. How many times do you do this? Oh, look at this course. Can I go play it?
I will often do it. Usually it's more, though, like if there's like a trip being lined up with like the Bills or something, I'll go look up, you know, whether Quail Hollow can be played because the Bills play the Panthers this year. That's usually more of it.
Yeah. Membership inquiries, membership privileges, TPC. Okay. I got an email for an inquiry. Translation, no, you can't play that course. Anyway. 803-0550, if you want to throw a phone call our way. Jeremy and Joe, we've got the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. I bet we get some deals this weekend in the NHL. We've already had a couple, and we're going to hit the weekend, and here come the deals.
Yeah, teams are going to try to get ahead of it, and I'm interested to see. I guess we've already had one team, you know, make a cap trade to clear space, but in other sports... Remember, this happened in the NBA the first year it happened, and this has happened in the NFL too, but when there's a year where the cap goes way up, teams can't control themselves, and they go spending. And this is the first year in how long that there's actually like a good increase in this NHL salary cap.
Yeah, it's been pretty flat for a while.
It's been flat forever, and it's not going up like a crazy amount, but it's going up. Like $95 million, what is that? That's like a $12 million increase from last year to this year. And at the moment, like all but teams have players to sign, but it's like all but five teams in the league have like at least $10 million in cap space. So, and this is a good free agent class. I wonder what type of sticker shock we're going to see on some of these signings. More so, I mean, guys will get traded and then maybe they'll sign a contract right after that. But I wonder how ready everyone is for, like, big sticker shock. Like, $9.5 million for a player you thought was going to get $7 million. And, like, no, that's actually not as bad as you think it is because, I'm telling you, these teams have more space than they have in a while because the cap has gone so far up. I mean, Boston's got $26 million and Winnipeg's got $26 million and Columbus has $40 million. Just every team except for, again, like, Colorado, Tampa, and Dallas are like the only three. We're just like, don't think about them. Every other team in the league's got money to spend, including the Sabres, by the way.
That's
Sabres,
one thing.
Sabres have $25 million.
That's another place, by the way. The Sabres have not done a thing they could do on the list of things they could do. Weaponize their cap space. They really haven't ever done that.
And no, they haven't. They haven't made a trade where they retain salary in, I think it's 4 years.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Not even just that, but like the Marchman trade, okay, maybe he could say no to here, but hey, we need to get rid of a player for cap, and it's a contract that we just don't want. Like, oh, we'll take that player because he can play for us. Like that really doesn't happen with this team.
No, I wonder if teams would even call them anymore, right?
I don't know.
Like, in a vacuum, I need to get rid of a good player that makes too much money because I got another guy I got to pay. Who do I call? Why do I call the Sabres? I don't think I would call them. Who used to get the calls, like this is the extreme of the cap dump trades, but if a team needed to unload a player's salary, who would they call for picks? They'd call Arizona. Arizona made 9,000 of those trades, and they had the same cap situation as the Sabres did.
Used to be a clearinghouse.
Right. So, like, that's part of it. My bigger problem with their cap is just looking back and seeing, it's like a rookie quarterback contract in the NFL. You had all these guys that were pretty talented on entry-level contracts, and you had $30 million to use on veterans over the last 3 years, three, 4 years, and you chose not to. That's like a team in the NFL having an elite quarterback on a rookie contract and deciding not to use the cap space that affords you.
Extendo Sports coming up. We'll wrap the week and send you off to a weekend. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. One of the things about this course, like, so sorry, more golf, but Oakmont was just all you could see was the course and a highway, and here you see houses. Well, here's somebody's backyard.
Right on the course.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, I reached out to Frank Saravelli, tried to get him on the show. Did not hear back. We'll keep following him, see what, you know, his sources. You know, he wrote a while back, Sabres have explored adding experienced personnel to the front office, and then they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, you know, for whatever it's worth,
yeah,
he's got something there, whether it's agents. He's on the Paterka stuff quite a bit. Whatever. I think it seems like a big-time agent game. And that means it's real. Just means we kind of know who's driving it.
Yeah. It has taken attention away from Byram getting traded, which I think everybody expects to probably happen.
Yes. I certainly do.
Like, him playing another game for the Sabres just doesn't feel possible to me. It is possible. I cannot foresee it at all.
It is possible. The way for that to happen is to get to, you know, hey, Kevin Adams has a price established, and he's mm-hmm. not going to buckle. And, you know, that's always what, if you don't trade a player, that's kind of what you land at. Like, well, hey, if nobody's going to come to play, then mm-hmm. he's just going to be here, and we have his RFA rights.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Netflix is going after Sports Talk. They want a Sports Talk show.
Is that right?
A live Sports Talk show. Something like Pat McAfee show is the story I was just reading about.
Who doesn't want more of this? Are you asking if we're available?
All right, there you go. We could go to two places.
When they look for a Sports Talk show, are they... Listen, most of these shows... I don't think Get Up is like this, but most of them are just like, listen... Are you willing to say really terribly dumb things on television?
Mm.
Yes? Perfect. You've got the job.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is, you're just trying to get attention, right?
Most of it.
People think that everybody in this business does that. I don't think everybody does it.
There are good. Like, even at those networks, right? Like, ESPN employs Stephen A. Smith and Mina Kimes.
Right. Dan Orlovsky.
Dan Orlovsky. Like, there are information people. There are, there's smart analysis. And then there is this is just WWE wrestling and sports debate forum.
Skip Bayless. Are they going to get Skip for Netflix? He's kind of out of the game.
Don't think he's anywhere. He probably has, his own YouTube channel or something, doesn't he? Yeah. No, I don't think he's anywhere. How old is Skip Bayless at this point, though?
Oh, he's old. You did
call yourself old earlier.
I was about to say, he's always been old. He's 73. 73, just waking up and ripping LeBron.
You know? Right. It's great.
Hey, maybe it's going to be Skip. All right. We're back on Monday. Have a great weekend. And, hopefully we come back with some hockey news. We'll see what happens. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.